This is a program about going deeper. It is about creating a culture of learning. It's about putting apostolic feet to prophetic hope. It is our mission to purposefully equip the world to transform their region with God's love. We want to create an atmosphere of divine influence to the nations by walking in the power of His Holy Spirit with a faith that shapes the future. Welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio.
Hey, welcome to Eagle Mountain Radio. My name is Chris Banky. I'm going to be your host today. And we've got with us here in the studio in Bend, Oregon, we got Bobby and Becky.
Hey there. Monique.
How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing pretty good.
I'm freezing.
So you're cold?
I am so cold.
It's actually very cold outside.
My bones are jumping together.
Yeah, it was a warm the car up before getting in the car morning for me.
We should get a blanket for you.
I know. I should just put my snow jacket on. But it makes noise, so.
Oh.
Thanks for asking, though.
Yes, of course. So here we are, recording this podcast. And I'm just going to set a date for context purposes. We're recording this the day before the presidential inauguration in 2021.
In the United States.
In the United States of America.
Yeah.
So, what that means is no matter when you're listening to this, whether it's, you know, real soon or 10 years from now, and no matter where you are in the world, that date should put a little bit of context for you that globally things are, what were we saying in the pre-show? Tense? No. Was it tense?
Charged.
Things are charged. Different countries are dealing with different things. Pretty much everybody is still dealing with COVID. In the U.S., there's been an unbelievable amount of division over the last year. I mean, really, the last 10 years have been kind of building, I think.
Yeah.
But the last year has been an unbelievable amount of division. And there's been a lot of discussions amongst us and our team and our church body around that. What is that mean? Like, how should we look at that division, the charged nature of things, how things are playing out in ways that we don't expect and how we do expect. And, you know, even so much as is saying, hey, what do we do from a mental standpoint and from, you know, how we think about things, how do we look at them when things are just radically different than we really believe they should be or that they were going to be? And, you know, there's been some discussion around Isaiah 54, and how that relates to what's happening right now. And I think to start off, Bobby, maybe if you could just take a minute and kind of lay a foundation. And then what we want to do over this podcast episode and the next one is to just kind of be okay getting a little bit uncomfortable and talking about some of the things that may be a little controversial, maybe a little uncomfortable, but that are probably on a lot of people's minds no matter where you are. Because we believe that it's very true right now. And even if things begin to settle down and become normal, whatever that is, I don't know what that is, but let's say they become normal, there's still this just situation with humans and life here on Earth. You know, it's just things are tough. Things create a charged nature, so to speak. So this is a very relevant for always. And I think that a lot of times, you know, in Christian circles especially, sometimes we're afraid to talk about this stuff because we just don't want to ever get, you know, into the dirty stuff, into the weeds. And I think it's just so appropriate right now to do that. So let's look at Isaiah 54 to set some context, and then let's go after some of that stuff.
Okay. So Isaiah 54 is, and I'll just read straight from it, and then we can stop and talk about it at intervals. But it says, shout for joy, O barren one, you who have not given birth to any child, break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the sons of the desolate one will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch out your curtains and the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare them. Lengthen your ropes and strengthen your pegs, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess nations and will resettle the desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be put to shame, and do not feel humiliated, for you will not be disgraced, but you will forget the shame of your youth and no longer remember the disgrace of your widowhood. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of armies, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. For he has called you like a wife forsaken and grieving in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth, who when she is rejected, says your God, for a brief moment I abandon you, but with great compassion I will gather you. And I feel like the Lord's just saying, in moments like this, where all that you just mentioned that's happening around the globe, we need to be honest about that. We need to have honest discussions, but at the end of the day, we need to filter those honest discussions through the truth of God's word. Yeah. So how do those honest discussions reconcile to Isaiah 54 when God says, hey, it feels like you're infertile right now. It feels like your business is tanking, your life is tanking, your family is tanking. How do you reconcile the truth of Isaiah 54 that this is the perfect time where natural things are not going well to enlarge the place of your tents? What does that look like?
Yeah, and I think it's important too to set some context. Not everyone might understand the reference to children and barren. And when this is written, like, all of society is built on the ability to have sons and daughters, but sons. And if... So you need to think about in your life, like, the things that would define in your culture your ability to be successful to any degree, no matter what that is in the world. Because we actually have people that listen to this from all over the world. In different cultures, it's different. Yeah. If you were the absolute worst case scenario of that, which is basically what he's saying here, yeah, that's when you expand your tent pegs.
Yes,
which
absolutely.
Is just... very counterintuitive. That's yeah. Just doesn't seem like the natural response no. We would have.
In fact, when I read expand the tent of your territory, I get angry. That's my natural response, because I feel like that would not be wisdom. I don't understand how to do that. I want to do it with everything in me, but I don't understand how.
So you're saying to some degree it sounds like a foolish move.
Totally. Because, you know, what's the last thing you want to do is remodel your house to make more room for the children you don't have.
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly. Just rubbing it in my face. I don't have kids. Right. Build more rooms.
What you need are some nurseries. Right?
And I do understand the concept yep. behind it, because it is a paradigm shift. It is a... The way I've been believing, I have to change. And that's where I sheepishly humble myself. But I first come up against the anger.
Well, and I think, you know, you're not alone.
That's good, yeah.
I mean, you know, take it from a couple who can't have children
right.
in the natural,
right.
you know. And this actually, this scripture was given to me to pray. And this is before I was diagnosed with cancer, and the cancer caused me not to be able to have children.
Yeah.
I am barren. You know, if you look at it in the natural, they actually call me barren.
Wow.
And you know, for a year, I prayed this prayer, had no idea. And at the end of that year, that's when I got diagnosed.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there, you know, going, wait, what? You know, and so I don't think that you're alone. I think that there are so many other people that when they hear this, they're like, I'm losing my business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're to expand territory. You know, if you're living in Israel and it's like, wait a minute, we're going to do more settlements. And hold on, we've got these neighbors who have just said they're going to start up their nuclear you know, programs again to annihilate us.
Right.
And they're now going out publicly to state, we are, you know, it's genocide for Israel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're saying, go do those settlements.
Right.
Or whatever that is, you know, no matter where you are, no matter what is going on, there are going to be emotions around this scripture.
Absolutely.
That are going to be all over the place. Mm-hmm. And one of them will be anger.
Yeah.
Another one could be disappointment. But I have stepped out, and I haven't seen you, Lord, respond with the answer that you're giving me more, that you're going to fill those places, that you're going to do the things that the rest of the scripture says. You know, let's take it down even further when it says, I will be no longer angry with you. Wait, hold on. God can be angry at me?
Right.
Is that like for real? You know, and now he's not going to be? What did I do that? How do I stop him from being angry? I thought he was a loving God.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's so many things that.
And what of the things that I did experience in my life were his anger?
Yes.
How, looking back, how does that change the way I view him? Because when I thought he was doing it for one reason, he was doing it because he was angry.
Right.
It does change your perspective somewhat.
It does. Yeah. And it for me, you know, I could see where there may be some people out there, and you may be one of them, that automatically wants to go into perform mode for God.
Mm.
Okay, so then if he's angry, that means I did something wrong, therefore I dot, dot, dot,
right.
You know, and that's not what God's wanting to say through this. So how do we lift up our understanding? You know, God said, or in the scripture, it says, help me understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that let's define what it means to enlarge the place of your tent right now. What does that mean for you? And here's what I know. It needs to start on the foundation of faith. So what is the narrative that you need to be thinking about to walk in an area to even think about expanding? Mm-hmm. Because if you're thinking about recoiling right now, which many people are, then it starts with narrative. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So let's just talk about what expansion looks like to you. Maybe it is believing God for natural children. Maybe it's I'm going to keep the faith that God has either a new business idea for me because my last one just shut down, or just simply food on the table. What does it mean to expand right now? Because the enemy wants you to contract. The enemy wants you to recoil, to hide. So maybe for you, keeping the faith, making sure that the scriptures are your final authority and not what you're experiencing right now. Let's talk about what it means to expand.
Yeah,
I think, and as we look at what it means to expand, I think part of it too is taking an honest view of what's going to be required to do that. So, you know, automatically what comes to mind in every example I can think of in scripture, it's perseverance. And perseverance is one of those, you know, I call them Bible tattoo, like those are the ones that people like to do.
Yes.
It's very easy to say. But really what happens, in at least in my life, is every single time I come into the situation, what sets in first is the fatigue. Like, you know what? A while ago, I had the faith for that, and I'm tired of having the faith for that. Like, I want to see something happen. Yeah. I'm tired of waiting to see something happen. Mm. And you look in Scripture for the examples, and the perseverance was the defining factor of the people that actually received the blessing that was promised. Mm-hmm. Because it's like a two-way street, right? Mm. So in order to expand the tent pegs, like what you're talking about, Bobby, you have to first be willing and brave enough to take the tent pegs up and move them when it doesn't make sense. That's like what you were talking about, Veronique. Like, this doesn't feel like wisdom.
Yeah.
So as we define that, you know, how do we, I think we should look at it from the context of, you know, the world's going to say this, don't build a nursery.
Yeah.
When you're barren, and God says no, build two nurseries.
Yeah.
So how do you reconcile that?
Right.
Like, that's
so
not easy.
For me, what stood out when you were talking was those who had faith, who persevered until the promise came. But Scripture also talks about those who persevered and died without having seen the promise come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is, Scripture says that faith was still accredited to them. Even more so. Bobby, you were talking before the show as, you know, that it came down to our faith. I don't know if you remember the point that you were making. It was just so powerful to me. Do you remember?
I do. So the Bible says that when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? So what is my greatest commodity?
That's right.
And if I have gone through all kinds of testing, and the blessing to me is that I have kept the faith.
Right.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And that finishing of my race is that cynicism didn't creep in. I believed in Jesus and his word till the end. Mm. So-and-so didn't get in office. Mm. And so now I don't believe the prophets anymore because many of them prophesied that he would be there and it didn't turn out the way that they said or I thought it would, or I prayed for that guy to raise from the dead or be sick and he died. Right. So does my experience create doctrine or am I immovable in my truth? And if my gift to the Lord at the end of the day is the worship of, I believed you and that was hard and I am just as full of belief today 40 years later, 50 years later, as the day you promised me that thing, then you have fought the good fight and you have finished the race.
I don't know. I almost would say, I don't even know if I'm going to agree with what I'm going to say, but I almost would say that it's really not faith if we're using an equation to define it. Right. So if we say, I'm going to have faith no matter how long it takes. Mm-hmm. But if at the end of that, what's not said is, as long as it happens, I don't care how long it takes. Yeah. And what you said really stood out to me. Actual faith, there's no equation. So actual faith is, I'm going to have faith even if it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the really hard part because the whole world would say that's foolishness. Yeah.
Right.
So faith is really, real faith requires 100% foolishness.
I want to ask a clarifying question. When you say I'm going to have faith, are you saying I'm going to have faith in something that you believe the Lord has told you? Are you saying you're going to have faith in something that his word says? Or are you saying you're going to have faith in something you've heard the prophetic voice speak?
Well, I think it's actually all. Because there's lots of examples in scripture where God says, I'm going to do something, and they had faith, and they were accredited as having faith. And it did happen, but it didn't happen when they were alive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they died with that faith. Mm-hmm. And the enemy, or I mean just the world, would say, you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. You put your faith in that, and look how it turned out. Right. You're dead. Didn't happen.
Right.
But the real, that's would be fake faith if you said, well, then you were wrong. Because then the faith is based on your own, like something you're controlling. Mm-hmm. It's an illusion you're giving the control over. But you're really having it. You're really taking control kind of secretly and pretending to give control over to God.
Yeah.
But the real heroes of faith were the ones that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
So, I think, can we jump in a little bit to the body of Christ? So the big body of Christ, the big C, all the Christians, and believers as the body of Christ have heard some prophetic words from some people who, who are out there that speak and say, here's what we're hearing from the Lord. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to use the example of America right now and the presidency. Mm-hmm. And now here we are. It's not actually quite, settled yet.
Right.
You've got a group of people, you've got like half of the Americans that believe that the election was stolen. You've got the other half that believe that it wasn't.
Yeah.
And you've got these prophetic voices that have said, hey, for America, we heard that, the next president is supposed to be President Trump. Mm. And now...
Is going to be.
And now here we are, and it's one day before, the transfer of power to a different administration is supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got these... you know, people, these prophetic voices that have said, hey, maybe we got it wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of recoiling back mm-hmm. on some of that. And it's good that there, you know, there's this accountability. We all need accountability. But there's a group of people out there who are thinking, you recoil too soon.
Yeah.
And here I'm mad because, you know, and it's not like a bad mad. It's just, come on, I was believing.
You missed it.
You're my eyes, you know, and you're supposed to, you're the eyes of the body of Christ, and you're supposed to see. And we believed what you were seeing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're saying, oops, got that one wrong. And your eyes are, and I feel like my eyes are being closed now as the body of Christ. What can we say and share to those people who are maybe feeling this, and they're feeling like now the body of Christ is kind of just like our eyes are shut, we're groping, and you're recanting something. Before we really fully see what God's wanting to do. Because I want to contend and I want to fight, even in the spirit. Maybe not physically, you know, I'm not saying go take up arms.
Exactly.
But in the spirit, I want to contend because our battle is not against people, but powers and principalities. Did we recoil too soon against a principality?
I hear you asking a couple questions. The first one is, how do you know when to say, oops, I made a mistake?
Yeah.
And then let's go after that question first.
Okay. All right, let's do it.
Well, I think it's awesome in a body. Bobby's looking at me with his father's eyes like, you just go ahead. We'll hear. All right, so I feel like I love that they are able to recoil because they are clearly surrounded by a tribe that allows them to make mistakes. And I love that because growing up, I was, you know, heard that whole thing of, you know, Christians are the ones who are the only ones on battlefield kicking each other down, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so when I watch people recoil or retract, sorry, not
retract.
Recoil.
I said recoil.
Retract their word. There's part of me that feels, we're not at the end yet, don't. But there's also the other part of me that I am glad that they are in a safe place and we should all honor their accountability for that. So that was my 2 cents.
That's a good 2 cents.
Have you ever been imparted to by a leader who made choices after they imparted to you that took their life in a different direction?
Yes.
And maybe they changed their mind. And then God looks to you and goes, so I guess you have to decide now. Mm-hmm. Is what they taught you real for you, or was it only real for you because they believed it? Mm. And we're constantly and need to be. I just love the Lord's leadership. Mm. We constantly need to be challenged if our faith rests in people, prophets, mm-hmm. you know, purpose even, or Jesus. And so I need that. This is super healthy for the body of Christ to figure out why we believe what we believe.
Yeah.
Yes, we need levels of accountability. And let's say that those who are recoiling too quickly. What should I be using? The word recant, recoil?
Retract.
Resist.
We decided retract.
Okay. So if they're retracting too soon, then what we want to do is provide a place for them that says, okay, why did you do that? Mm. Was it because of the pressure of all the people on Facebook that you had and or you felt like it, you know, you needed to model for them what being humble looks like, and it actually backfired on you and all those people wanted you to believe till the end. You have to ask yourself, why am I doing this? And if I'm doing this based on the fear of man, if I'm doing this based on identity issues, then take a good look at yourself right now and go, wow, I caved because of identity issues. If it's truly a humility and the Lord says you missed it, then make sure that you're running that by somebody. Make sure that someone agrees with you that you did miss it,
yeah.
and have them walk through your retract with you. So that you're not alone. That's the issue right now, is we're going to stone the messengers one way or another, and there's a teachable moment for us here.
I think one of the things I'm hearing you say is this, we know from Scripture, we hear in part, we see in part. So that doesn't work if we are putting our faith in the prophet over Jesus. I hear you saying that. What I would take that to mean is, it's a requirement that we evaluate these prophetic words through our own relationship with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And then if we do that, then there's a lot of safety in that. So there's safety for the prophet to go, hey, I heard from God and I'm wrong, before everyone burns them on Facebook. And also gives them freedom to go, okay, everybody's burning me on Facebook and I heard from God and I'm right. Mm-hmm. And then if it still proves to be wrong, that's when it gets real dicey from the world's perspective. Mm-hmm. But if we're all understanding how we're supposed to be collaborating through our own personal relationships, then it does create this safety with accountability. Mm-hmm. So then you can go back in the safety and begin to explore, how do we become accountable, you know, in that, and what do we do when we make mistakes?
Really,
but if you don't have that set up that way, you're only going to do what you referenced. Mm. You don't even have a choice. You will, in the battlefield, start beating each other up because you've set yourself up to require that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're required to beat each other up on the battlefield, which is exactly the opposite of what God actually wants us to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. That proper accountability is going to be, okay, so we missed some things. How do we take a look at this? What's being said? What's not being said? And then there's the other side of the camp that says, hold on. Even though there's an inauguration, there can be a removal. And mm-hmm. so they're going to believe even after tomorrow's date, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, my faith is bigger than tomorrow's date. Mm-hmm. My faith doesn't expire on tomorrow's mm-hmm. date.
Right.
And so there's going to be this thought process. And so what are those guys going to do? Are they going to milk it all the way till 2024 and go, oh, wow, geez, I believed until the very end, and now somebody else is getting in.
Right. Yeah.
And so I just really believe that's where, like we're talking about, our faith has to be pointed straight at Jesus and say, God, I am not removing my faith on what you told me, what you said. And if I'm seeing in part, and I recognize that I see in part, and there's a bigger picture to be imparted to me, then my faith was in you anyway. Yeah. Totally teachable. I don't have to reduce my faith because something didn't happen the way that I thought it would.
Okay, do you have a quick thing on this? Real quick. To add to that in a question form. So we see in part.
Yep.
What would we say, and what do you guys think about all of the people who are like, hey, why is it that I get that we see in part because we need each other to see the wholeness. However, the question is this: why is it sometimes so muddy? Why can't God just speak to us clearly? What are we going to say to that, y'all?
I would like to just get a clear email sometimes. That would be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
I love the confidence of those who are like, let's say on this presidential thing that we're talking about. I love the confidence of those who are saying, no, I've heard from the Lord, and he's going to be the second term of the 45th president. And I love that confidence, and that's to the degree that God's speaking to them. I think there's something in the prophetic that you have to release the word on the level that you heard it. So if God didn't speak it to you, do not say, thus says the Lord.
Come on.
If God, you felt something, or if you saw a vision, then you can say, I felt that Trump was going to be the president, or I saw a picture that Trump was going to be the president. But don't turn that into thus says the Lord.
Right.
But there are higher level prophets who are saying, thus says the Lord. Yeah. And that's the level of both testing and blessing that they're walking at. And we can recognize that there's those levels and everyone can be teachable. Yeah. And I think it would be a disservice to their level of faith, because the Bible says we're to prophesy according to our level of faith. It would be a disservice to their level of faith for them to detract that word right now.
So I feel like that takes us to the second part of your question, Becky, which is, so what's the, this is the part I think is going to start to get a little crazy. What do we do when it appears, for all intents and purposes, that they were wrong?
Yeah.
So there's two scenarios that come out of that. One, it looks like they were wrong. It's 100% looks like they were wrong. And they go, I was wrong, but I was positive.
Yeah.
And then there's the other one where it looks for certain that they're wrong. And they're like, I'm still right. I still believe.
Yeah.
So those are very real. We're about to find out if we're going to step into some of that.
Yeah.
But how does the body, what's the appropriate response? Because that's starting to get real. That's where we really start doing what Veronique referenced. We start beating each other up.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You, and with social media, it's super easy to go down that path.
Totally.
Can you just whip out an answer for that one?
What's the answer that we're
going
to talk on?
So what comes to my mind is back in the 50s and tell me if I'm hogging this. Just cut me off. Somebody mute me.
I think everyone's like, Bobby, can you?
Okay.
Did you see all our heads on Bobby?
Okay. I kind of feel the pressure.
All right.
So back in the 50s, there was the Voice of Healing movement. Remember, in the United States, that's when the tent revivals were happening. Major evangelists, major people coming to the Lord. And then over time, we saw this sort of wane. And I don't know why. I don't think it should have happened, because I think the power of God should never wane.
Right.
But we saw this a bit of waning in these tent revivals in terms of, we were seeing people get out of wheelchairs and massive corporate, tons of people getting healed, biblical proportions, really. And then as this wane began to happen, not all, but a few of those popular ministers begin to say, I just don't understand. I think it's the level of faith that people are coming into the tent with. And the fingers started being pointed at the people.
Yeah.
You don't have enough faith.
Oh, wow.
And there's
for everybody with your lack of faith, kind of.
Absolutely. And there's nothing to tank a movement better or quicker than pointing the finger and getting into accusation.
Yeah.
And so I believe that every cycle that we need to have those tests in the body, and we're 70 years out. We're into a 70-year cycle, which is so apropos in Scripture, where Israel came out of 70 years of captivity, and now we've got a narrative that we're going to either accuse, point the finger, become the victim, or we're going to go, I refuse to do that. I have a faith requirement that the Spirit of God is asking my faith to stay at this level regardless of what I see, and that's the first test that I need to overcome. So I think that that's part of question number one is I cannot point the finger based on what I see. And so for the prophetic people right now, we're going to run the same risk of saying, I don't believe in the prophetic anymore.
Yeah.
The second thing is that can people prophesy things and just flat out miss it? Is there a grid in our R&D? The church is, and I'm a part of the church, so I speak this about myself, but can the church have an R&D where we learn to develop stuff and the places that we're weak? Or do we have this religious utopian mindset that no prophets can miss it?
R&D, research and development. That's what you're referring to.
Correct.
Right? Okay, just want to make sure we're clear on that.
I was going through all my acronyms.
Which one is that?
Yeah, in business. I mean, you're great if you have an R&D. If you recognize there's room for growth.
Yeah.
And in the church, we take the R&D, the research and development part out of it, and we say, nope, you can't miss it at all. We don't know how to handle your sin. We don't know how to handle your shortcomings and your weaknesses. And then so what happens is the prophets go, well, Maybe it's going to happen in the next generation. Maybe you guys didn't believe. And that's what could happen right now.
Yeah.
Y'all didn't pray enough. Listen, we've prayed enough.
Yeah.
The whole globe is praying for the United States right now. Yeah. I'm not saying don't stop or stop praying.
Right.
But I'm saying no, you can't use the you haven't prayed enough. You didn't have enough faith. It's going to happen in 150 years.
Right.
This is one of those things where we're either going to have to admit that we missed it, or we're just going to have to go, wait a minute. Something's going to happen. Let's hold out, hold out, hold out. And the test is your personal faith. Do not cave based on pressure of people. Number two, make sure you understand there's something bigger in the prophetic that you may not be seeing.
Right.
So what I'm hearing you say out of that is, in regard to Isaiah 54, for those who are the eyes of the body, the prophetic, and they have that voice part too, do not stop seeing. Enlarge your seeing. Enlarge your voice in sharing what you're seeing. Keep going. Keep at it. Don't stop. Don't retract. And we have one mission as a body.
Yeah.
Now, in that one mission, as the whole body of Christ, there is a point where we all have, from the Lord, we have this one mission, but it's this, we are to operate in who we are called to be, how he has made us, with that one mission in mind, but it doesn't mean that it's going to all look the same. So I'm hearing you say that too. Out of this. And if we go back to this Isaiah 54, in this, the question then becomes, how does our faith in God get enlarged? And how does our relation, so this Isaiah 54, we have to take it back to him, right? And we have to ask him, God, how do I enlarge in this time? And how do I have faith building and enlarging to enlarge in the way that you are asking me to enlarge personally as a group together in this part of the body of Christ and then as the whole body of Christ?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to release peace and healing over that question in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
That anyone who hears that and feels frightened or feels shameful or feels like, man, I just don't know how to hear from God. How am I going to hear what God wants me to do with regards to enlarging? I just release peace and healing into your spirit and into your soul that you would, that the shame would fall away and that the doubt and the second guessing would just fall away in Jesus' name, that you would be able to hear exactly what it is that the Lord wants you to do so that you can operate and he can look at you and find you faithful in Jesus' name.
I think if I had to distill down what the discussion is, what you guys are saying is, that a couple things. First of all, it's really important that we are evaluating who we're putting our faith in all the time.
Yeah.
So it's not just important to say, hey, I'm putting my faith in Jesus, not these guys. And you can say that and you can believe that and it can be 100% true. But if you're not constantly checking yourself, you could slip out of that. Especially with things like prophetic, when somebody starts being prophetically accurate all the time. So I hear you saying it's very important where we actually have our faith. That doesn't mean you discount what the prophets are saying at all, because that is the tool that God has given us. So it's important to keep it in the right order of faith, if as it were. The second thing I hear you guys saying is that as things get shaky, or things aren't—they don't turn out the way that we thought, or people were wrong, or we perceive that they were wrong, because it's different. Sometimes we think they're wrong and they really weren't. That's a time to actually press in more, not recoil or reverse or right. recant or whatever the word is we settle on.
Retract, yes.
Retract. To actually press in more.
Yeah.
And I think that all of that stuff is very counterintuitive to like what would be a natural response. Mm-hmm. So if I put my hand on the stove and then I burn it, I don't go, well, now I'm going to put it on the stove longer.
Right.
Because that's going to work. So the thing I'd like to just take 1 minute, 2 minutes and kind of wrap up on is how do we accurately evaluate when the stove is going to burn us and when it's not going to burn us, and like what's the right response so that we know, you know, this is how to approach when something goes wrong. Now, we talked about that a little bit in that we need to have room for people to grow in their gift and to be okay with mistakes because everyone is perfect. And in every other area of life, we're totally okay with this. Someone's going to learn how to be a great speaker. Mm-hmm. The first time they get up, we don't expect them to be an amazing speaker yet. Mm. But somehow with the prophetic, that's the rules are all different. So we already talked about that a little bit. But what is our response? What is our, let's wrap up with what our response needs to be when things don't go the way that they've been definitively with, you know, a fist on the table. No, this is what I know. This is what's going to happen. This is what God told me. And it doesn't go that way. What is the right response to that?
My Isaiah 54 response, and this is what challenges me to enlarge my paradigm, and that is to first say, my faith has made a way for me to not be shaken by what my natural eyes are seeing right now. So my conditioned response is to go, Lord, there must be something you're up to that I don't see. Mm-hmm. Instead of, oh no, because that's what happens when your eyes see something or don't see something, is the heart begins to recoil and do all of those things. So to avoid that, my conditioned response needs to be, you must be doing it another way. That for me is, if I spent this next year just maturing in my faith to that degree where I do not recoil when my eyes see something different than my faith has been shouting to me, I cannot be movable on those things. And that's why I admire even the prophets who are immovable right now based on what they believe they've seen. Right. I have to be able to celebrate that right now instead of pointing the finger as to whether or not they're accurate. That's the next level down after accountability starts to happen. But if I go there first, my faith is already diminishing. Mm-hmm. I have to see beyond the natural.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, just kidding. Go ahead.
In my humanity, I have to keep reminding myself that we are living in a time grid, that we are locked into things a certain way because we're human, but that God isn't. And like we said, maybe it's coming in the next generation. I have so many. As I say one thing, my brain goes off into five different directions as to, but then this, but then this, but then this, and we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I do know that at the end, like it says here in Isaiah 54, he's not just our creator, he's our husband. And he's going to lead us with the faithfulness and the love of a husband. Whether I see well or not, and that's where I have to end.
That's so good.
That's good. End it, Chris.
What they said
is great.
We are a little bit over our. We've got this little timer here that you guys can't see, so we're all looking at this thing, and it's like, speed it up. So we're gonna do another podcast as well. And what I would just say is, these should be encouraging to you. And I just would ask that you would think, just for a moment, about who might also need to hear this message or some other podcast from Eagle Mountain Radio, and share it. Share it. If you're not subscribed, subscribe. If you're listening to this on Apple or Google or one of those platforms, you can also find it on YouTube. We have videos of these. You can also find it on the kingdomlearning.life website. You can actually see the video because sometimes it's fun to watch the videos and not just listen to us because you can see the faces we make at each other and stuff. But you definitely want to subscribe. You definitely want to share. And we definitely want to hear from you as well, like yes. comments, things that you want us to dig into, your feedback. Tell us that we're crazy. We're totally okay with that. You can't defend us. We want to hear from you. So definitely subscribe, and we'll see you on the next one. Thanks.